no particular reason, you have to understand that the Old Testament, or at least much of it, has to do with Jewish history. And so the New Testament has more to do with us as far as Gentiles and our relationship to Jesus Christ. But yet, the Old Testament is our schoolmaster, as one of the writers put it. The law was our schoolmaster. So as we read the stories from back then, we can apply them to ourselves, at least to some degree. Some things were promised specifically to the Israelites, and some things are we can take some of those promises and apply them to us. But there's some promises that were just for them. So tonight I want to talk about a very well-known person, but he's very admired by me. I hope he is admired by you. His name is Joseph. We all know the story of Joseph. But I want to read just specific portions about his life. As he was growing up, he was a kind of a spoiled child. I really do. He was the 11th, in the family of Jacob. And he had these dreams, and his brothers made fun of him because of them. Because it made it look like that one day Joseph would be a ruler over all of them, and they kind of mocked him for that. And it wasn't so much just the mocking that the father, and this is where you need to learn this lesson. You should not have, if you have a large family, if you have a favorite child, you shouldn't voice it, at least. Because they knew, those brothers knew that Joseph was a favorite child. I don't know if you realize, but he had the coat of many colors. Okay, we've heard that song, we've heard the story. Colors back then were very, very expensive. So the father, Jacob, lavished on Joseph. And so the other boys, I think, were jealous. And then they would get out and they'd be boys. And Joseph would be one of those who came back and told on them. Well, nobody likes a tattletale. Even my son tells his little daughter, my granddaughter, snitches get stitches. And I don't know if you should be telling that to a first grader or a kindergartner? Kindergartner, yeah. So I don't know if you should be telling that. But anyway, Joseph, believe it or not, was hated by his brothers. And I mean hated. Anyway, they went off to a place, and Jacob had sent them. Apparently they were gone longer than what they should have been. So Jacob had sent Joseph to go find them and report back. Well, what does report back mean? Tattle on them. Probably they were up to no good. Well, when they saw him coming, they had a plan. They were going to kill him. Thank God for Judah. Judah wanted to, you know, pretend either to kill him, you know, hey, let's put goat's blood, lamb's blood on the coat and send it back. Or, you know, let's sell him off as a slave. And it turned out that when Judah was, for whatever reason, when he was gone, there was a caravan of Ishmaelites, okay? Ishmaelites were coming, and they decided, the other brothers, to sell Joseph, okay? So that's where we're going to pick up. Genesis 39 and 1. Notice it says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh," he was the captain of the guard. I don't know if you realize, but captain of the guard probably meant he was the captain over the prison. Okay, he might have been the chief of the executioners. Okay, but he was the captain of the guard, and he was an Egyptian, and he bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites. So the Ishmaelites had sold Joseph to Potiphar, an Egyptian, and so which had brought him down thither, means there. So anyway, Joseph was the very first victim, at least in his family, of human trafficking. This is what human trafficking is. It's when somebody is either given or sold into some kind of service. Now, I don't know if you understand, but there are many, if not hundreds, maybe thousands of unaccompanied minors, children, coming across the border. Nobody knows where they're ending up. Folks, human trafficking is a multi-billion dollar business. Okay, we need to pray for these children. They think they're coming over here for a better life and actually are being sold into some kind of slavery, including prostitution or actual slavery. And people don't, it's like we close our eyes to human trafficking. Well, same with Joseph. Joseph was a victim of human trafficking. Genesis 39 verse 2 says this, "And the Lord was with Joseph." You see, the Lord doesn't leave us just because our circumstances change. The Lord doesn't leave us. "And he was a prosperous man," Joseph was, "and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." And the thing that struck me, as far as life lessons go, is that God is still in charge, even no matter what our situation happens to be. God is still in charge. You might think everything's done, gone to hell in a handbasket, but God is still in charge. That's one of the life lessons in this reading. But then we get to Genesis 39 and 3. And it's talking about Potiphar. "And his master saw that the Lord was with him." Now, let's pause for just a second. Potiphar was not a believer in Yahweh, Jehovah. He just simply realized that whatever God that Joseph believed in seemed to be prospering him. In Egypt, they actually worshipped different kinds of gods, and one of them was a symbol of a cat. So there you go. But anyway, so he noticed that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hands. A life lesson in that verse is that people are watching you. People are watching you. One, they're watching to see if you're going to fall and make mistakes. You know, that, in fact, a lot of them are ready to pounce if you do. So people are watching you. That's the first thing. The second thing is people are watching you to see if you're real. They may be thinking about Jesus, but they don't know if he's real yet or not. And if they see him in your life, and believe me, if Potiphar can see that the Lord was with Joseph, the Lord can show other people the Lord is with you. That's the point. That's why we sing that song, "This Little Light of Mine." It shouldn't be so much of a children's song or just a song we sing. It should be an anthem because we should be showing our light. And that light is who? Jesus. Jesus is the light. And so people are watching us to see if the Lord is truly with us. And to see another thing is, are we with the Lord? See, sometimes it's easy to fall away. And I understand what you're talking about, Marcia, because I fell away for a time. And I had to come back. And yes, the Lord will welcome you back. He's gracious. He's gracious. He's willing to restore. He's willing to help you. He's got his arms just waiting. Just waiting. And so I had to come back. And so the next verse, verse 4, notice we're going through these kind of quickly. Genesis 39 and 4, and it says, "And Joseph found grace in his sight." Now, I want to mention the fact that God will often on your behalf, allow other people, even if they're non-believers, to find favor or grace in their sight toward you. Because even though the person I work with may not be a Christian, they know about my faith. I had a manager who even said, he said, "I understand your faith is important to you." And I said, "Yes, he is." I said, "He's of utmost importance." Because what I was telling him was when I got ordained, I said, there may be times that I might need to leave work. I said, but I would make up the time. But I might leave work to do a funeral or whatever needed to be done, to preach. And he said, "I know that your faith is very important to you." He said, "So we'll work it out. As long as it doesn't interfere with your work," he said, "everything's okay." And so God provided someone who was showing me favor, grace in his sight. And so the Lord is faithful. So we can find this grace. And so Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. Okay? He served him. And he made him overseer over his house. Now, this is what I find interesting, that Potiphar saw that Joseph was so good of a servant that he decided to put his entire house. Now, you got to understand, this is a man who was probably in tight, maybe to some degree, with Pharaoh himself, okay, the king of the land. And so he's putting Joseph, a slave, no less, over his entire house. So this life lesson here is that we can find grace when we are faithful, key word being faithful, during our trial or our testing. We talked a little bit about this in our Bible study. We have to be faithful during our trial. And I know in the book of James when he said, "Count it all joy." Well, I have a notion that Joseph didn't count it all joy to be a slave to Potiphar, an Egyptian, who didn't care for his God. But at the same time, in that situation, he served Potiphar and he served him with dignity and was prosperous when he did. And so verse 5. "And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house." See, sometimes unbelievers don't realize what such good decisions they make until they notice how things have changed. So Potiphar makes Joseph overseer over his whole house. "So it came to pass that from the time that he had made him overseer in the house and over all that he had," everything, "that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field." In other words, there were some kind of dealings, and I don't know what kind they were, in the house. But the field, agriculture, okay? Everything was prospering under Joseph for his sake. Now, what kind of life lesson can we gather from that? See, the Lord may bless your company, your organization, or I don't know if you belong to any clubs or groups. The Lord may bless them, especially if they're doing good, that because you're there. You ever think about that? I often wonder, I was so disappointed. The company that I worked for previous, because we got sold to a different company, but the company I worked for previous, they could have remained neutral over the LGBTQ plus I, whatever, all the letters go that long. And they were already given insurance to, you know, health insurance, to, they call them life partners. Okay, I didn't really have any beef with that, because that's their choice. You know, I'm working for the company, but that's their choice. Where I got disappointed in one of the newsletters that they did, I mean, they really threw out the red carpet for, like I said, the LGBTQ+I, all the other letters, and was talking about all the diversity and all this stuff, and I'm sitting here, oh no. I said, Lord, I said, please help us. Because they could have remained neutral, but no, they went pro for this. And they were driving it home to all of the employees. And I prayed for them. And then I read this scripture. I read this scripture where, even for my sake, perhaps, and there were other Christians in the company as well, that the Lord might still bless them for our sakes. That happens. Now, since then, we've been sold to another company. And I think I'm waiting to see if that blessing is still going to occur. So we're kind of in a, what do you call it, limbo right now, where we don't know who does what and when and all that other stuff, but we're just trying to keep up with our daily work. But I'm praying that because of my sake and others, the remnant, think of us as a remnant within the company, that the Lord will still bless. So that's a life lesson that we should take with us, that the Lord can still bless us, not just for Joseph's sake, but for our sake. All right, verse 6. And we're only going to verse 9. Verse 6. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. So Joseph had full control of his master's house. So think about that. A slave had full control and authority, because there were other slaves there. You can read it later, but there were other men there, slaves. And Joseph had full control over all of that. And so, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had. In other words, he had no clue what he had. Joseph was taking care of it, save the bread which he did eat. Now, I like that phrase where, you know, I haven't a clue. All my money and all my stuff is in charge with this guy over here, who's my servant, by the way, and I don't know what's going on except for what I'm eating. That's it. And he gave it all to Joseph. And then the Bible throws this in. God throws this in. And the King James doesn't give it, I don't think, a very good translation. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. Well, that seems sort of benign, right? That's not what he's talking about. Joseph was a very handsome man and well-built. Okay, think of Superman or Atlas. Okay, this would be the kind of guy, somebody who stepped out of an Egyptian GQ magazine, and the ladies would go crazy. They would swoon over somebody like Joseph. Now, you can get that if you read some of the Greek words, but some of the other translations come out and tell you plainly what it's talking about. He was a very stocky, well-built guy, and the women just would fawn all over Joseph. But it just simply says here that he was a goodly person and well-favored. In other words, he was very desired. He was very desired. So it's in there, and you know, it's just one of those things that when I read it, and then I go off and I study, well, what's it really saying here? And then I find out what it's really saying, and then I'm thinking, oh my. You know, Joseph was a man's man. Let's put it that way, okay? Verse 7. Well, his handsomeness and his good looks and his well-builtness gets noticed. Now, I don't know if this would have happened with anyone else but Joseph, but it said, and it came to pass after these things, meaning after Potiphar had put everything in his charge, that his master's wife, she cast her eyes upon Joseph. Of course she did. He was, like I said, very desirable. And what did she say to him? Lie with me. She wanted to sleep with Joseph. Didn't care about Potiphar. She wanted to sleep with Joseph. And the thing is, the life lesson is here is that you have to be careful where, or at least places you are, because temptation can come when you least expect it. You know, you realize that? Temptation can come when you least expect it. Now, Joseph was away from his people. And he, I don't know how many years had passed, but he wasn't a boy any longer. He was a full-grown man. And Potiphar's wife was looking at this young, stocky, good-looking guy, and she was like, I gotta have him. And so she's telling Joseph to sleep with her, to lie with her, and that's what she wanted. So temptation can come at you without a moment's notice. Life lesson there. Verse 8. Chapter 39, verse 8. God loved Joseph. God loved Joseph. Even though he had every right to be bitter toward God, he had every right. Yet, he still hung on to his faith. So, life lesson here. Hang on to your faith, even when your situation is not what you want it to be. Because now he's being tempted from the wife of his master, no less. Okay? She held a lot of power. And he's being tempted by that. But verse 8 says, but he refused. And he gives an explanation to her. And he said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not. I don't like the King James when it uses the wotteth not. It simply means he doesn't know. His master doesn't know. Not, he's not concerned about what is with me in the house. In other words, he's turned everything over to Joseph. And he has committed all that he has to my hand. So he's reminding her that, look, your master trusts me. And this is sometimes we have to remind other people. I've had people before want me to sign off on when we are testing product and it wasn't working properly. But it was the end of the month. I don't know if it works at your company, Rhonda, but end of the month was always what we called crunch time. I mean, you had to get as much dollars out the door as possible. And if it didn't work right, that's okay. It'll come back. We'll fix it. And but they could count those dollars. And I would not do it. They pressured me to sign off on some things that weren't working properly. And I just wouldn't do it. I was kind of concerned about my job when that happened, but God was with me. God was with me and I prevailed. So he's saying to her, he's reminding her that, look, I'm in charge of everything here. And you know that, I know that. And so he goes on to say, and this is where we're gonna end tonight. He goes on to say in verse 9 of chapter 39, he says, there is none greater than in this house than I. In other words, he had full authority, boss. He was boss. Good looking boss, but he was the boss. Okay? So he was the boss. And he said, neither has he kept back anything from me but thee. In other words, you. You're the only thing, his wife. You're the only thing that he's kept back from me. And it kind of makes me wonder if he had a conversation with Potiphar. I think he did, but I don't know that, because nowhere do we read that he kept her from him, but there it is. He said, and neither has he kept back anything from me but thee, but you, because you are his wife. And here's the last, and I think one of the most important life lesson we can learn. Because Joseph asked her, how then can I, not her, I, do this great wickedness and sin against who? God. God, do you realize? Do you realize when we fall into temptation or when we sin in ways, we're ultimately sinning against God? And sometimes we don't take that into account. But Joseph did. And this is why he's one of my heroes. If you keep reading after verse 9, you'll find out that she kept pestering him day after day after day. Till finally, I think she got rid of all the men in the house just so she could be alone with Joseph. And then she was literally going to grab Joseph. And Joseph worked his way out of his cloak. And now she had evidence, okay? And that's what got Joseph put in prison. So he didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. He did everything right. And even by doing everything right doesn't necessarily prevent us from falling into some kind of hardship. And so I want you to learn this last life lesson from the Old Testament, that how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? The thing is, when we do that, yes, the whole body of Christ will suffer. Will suffer. We will lose our reputation. We will lose our testimony. I know some people can get it back, but it takes time. It takes time. And just recently, they would be referred to as mega church pastors, mega meaning thousands, perhaps, that they've had a falling into temptation and had to resign. I guess they get too prideful. But see, that's the thing. Joseph had in his mind, he wasn't sinning against Potiphar. That's not how he thought it. He wasn't sinning against Potiphar's wife. That's not how he thought about it. He was sinning against God. And that was the thing that he, you know, I know sometimes when people say we ought to fear God, we ought to reverence God enough to where we would be afraid to sin against him. Yes, I know sometimes we do sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. I depend upon that scripture so much. But this life lesson that I want you to take away from here when you leave this place tonight is that, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that with these life lessons in the Old Testament, I pray, God, that you will apply them to our hearts. People are watching us, Lord. People are watching us. Temptation can come at us at any moment. I pray that you keep us faithful. I pray, Lord, that you help us in our situation through our trials. And God, that you will always be with us and bless all of those, Lord, for our sakes, whoever we belong to or work for. And so, God, all of these life lessons, I pray that you will apply them to us as we go about our business day to day. And so, God, we commit all of this into the hands of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.